We're talking today about timeline and timing. And as I got to think about time, time is a fascinating thing, is it not? It continues as a constant, and yet it feels so different depending on what we are experiencing or how our day is going, right? We'll say things like, that day just dragged along, right? Have you ever had a day that you're like, man, that day just dragged along, right? Especially like if you're at work, right? Oh, man, it just dragged along. Or you've got that day where it's like, man, that day just flew by, right? It's the same day, same amount of time, but we experience it differently, right? Or how something that only happened 5 years ago can feel like it was 15 years ago, right? Or something that was 20 years ago can feel like it was just yesterday. And some of you that are a little older than me are like, yeah, the 60 years ago stuff feels like it was yesterday too. Time is this interesting thing in how we experience it, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of conversations with people about God's timing in their life, God's timing in general, how God works in time and such. And God's timing is this thing that we say when circumstances are happening in life and we believe that God is sovereign over all of it, but we can't quite make sense of the timing of it all. And so I said, well, it must be something about God's timing in this because I don't know why this is happening the way it is. And you see, we can say that and we can trust in God's sovereignty because we recognize that God has a very different relationship with time than we do. See, God exists outside of time. He created time. We read in Genesis where it says, in the beginning, God created. So we understand there is a beginning in that. There was a beginning to time in that. And at that beginning, God was already there and was working. He created time. And so then we read in Peter's letter in 2 Peter, getting ahead of myself here, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, where it says, dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Peter's not talking about God's relationship with time in the same way as us, where we're like, was that 5 years or 15 years ago? I can't remember. I can't tell. It all feels kind of the same. No, God literally exists outside of time. And so he can look at something 1,000 years ago and look at something today and see it, experience it, and know it fully simultaneously because he exists outside of time. And so today we're wrestling with time and God's timeline, God's timing, how we are involved with God's work and how his timing is in that, his will, how he works in that, and his sovereignty and how he is glorified in all of it. And so we're going to be in that passage in Acts chapter 9 that Logan read for us earlier. And we're just going to walk through that. We'll look at those verses again. And we're going to make some observations about how God is working, how we experience his timing in that, and we get to be involved in his work to build his church. So before we get into the text, let's just pause for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to receive what it is that you have for us today. And God, as we wrestle with understanding your will and your timing as you build your church, God, as you invite us into your building of the church, God, would you allow us to see the ways that you want to work and use us in it? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that we're going to notice about God's timing is how we just simply live in God's timing, or living in God's timing. And we see this chapter, we're following Peter, the Apostle Peter, and some of his early ministry here in the book of Acts. And so we pick it up in verse 32. Let's look at these verses again, 32 through 35, and just refresh ourselves in them. So it says, as Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. Then there he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up, and so all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So Luke, as he's writing this and sharing this with us, he talks about saying Peter was traveling, and most scholars would say that what was happening here was not that Peter was heading to the local Best Western and just stopped off in Lydda, but Peter was going about the different towns and visiting the churches, visiting the saints, that word there being referred to the believers or followers of Jesus. And so he was going from village to village, ministering and encouraging them. And so then Luke describes this situation that happens when he gets to Lydda there. And so when he gets to Lydda, it says that he finds this man, Aeneas. And he happened to have been bedridden for 8 years. Now we have an idea of the timeline in the book of Acts. We don't necessarily have precise markers in it, but what we can understand is that this event is happening somewhere in the late 30s AD. And so, depending on the timing and dates and everything about Jesus' crucifixion, there's a possibility here that this man being bedridden for 8 years maybe was in this condition going all the way back to the time before Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. It's close. But what it got me thinking, whether it crosses over or not, really is not the point. But it got me thinking about this and remembering, even in Jesus' ministry, when he walked the earth, he didn't end up healing everyone. It's not because he was trying and couldn't, but he didn't get to everyone. That was not his point. That was not his purpose in it. And we see here where Peter, as he comes to Lydda, encounters this. And if we stop and we think, how many other places could Peter have been at that moment? How many other Aeneases would there be in those villages who would also be in need of healing? And so why is it that Peter happens to be in this place at this time to pray for this man? We just simply recognize that this is God's timing in this, right? I think to better understand what we're wrestling with here is we have to ask some questions about why illness and death occurs in the first place and why healing occurs as well. See, we experience various illnesses and eventual physical death because of the choices that Adam and Eve made in the garden. God, in his creation, created it perfect, and Adam and Eve had an experienced perfect relationship with God until they chose to doubt God's goodness and eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that brings in physical illness and eventual death, separation from God. Now, Jesus came to restore what was broken in that, to make it right, and to make right relationship with God once again possible through paying for the penalty of that sin, that original sin, and every subsequent sin from there on. Jesus came to restore the brokenness in that relationship. And so the healing that we see that happens in Jesus' ministry and in the ministry of the church is actually a healing that points to God's perfect plan and will and desire for us to be in perfect relationship with Him. The eternal life that Jesus has made available to us that will have no pain and suffering in it when this life is over, it is a glimpse. The healing is a glimpse of that perfection that we will receive through faith in Jesus Christ. The goal of the purpose of Jesus coming and the goal of the purpose of the church is not necessarily to see every single individual in the world healed of physical illness. God is going to take care of that eventually when He does away with sin and death. The times where He does it now are giving us a view into that future. And God is glorified in that time. And so, yes, there are times of healing, but that healing serves a purpose in pointing us towards this beautiful future that is available to everyone through Jesus Christ. So Peter is here praying for this man, and he says to him, he says, Jesus Christ heals you. See, it wasn't Peter who was doing it, but it was Jesus. And Peter was recognizing that he is just in the right place at the right time and discerns that God wants to bring healing in this person's life. And so he announces it. He is the one who is announcing it. Jesus is the one who is actually healing him in this. And we read there in verse 35 where it says that all who turned to the Lord who had heard about it there. See, miracles, when they happen, serve a purpose, kind of a twofold purpose. One is God is glorified in it. And secondly, it should point people to Jesus. If it's pointing people to something other than Jesus, then it's not of God. And God is not being glorified in the way that He should be glorified in that. So what does this have to do with how Peter was living in God's timing? Simply put, Peter was not going about trying to manufacture a way to do a miracle. He was just traveling and encouraging others and being open to how God wanted to be at work in that moment. See, wherever you are at in any given moment, in time and in space, that's where God has you at. And if we take the time to look around where we are, we will see ways that God wants to use us for His glory and for our good. That's what Peter did. He just looked around and saw the need there. So when we're in different places, we need to be looking for those opportunities. Who are the people that need to be prayed for? Who is God calling me to, inviting me to care for, to minister to pray with, and such? A couple weeks ago, we were at the North American Baptist Triennial Conference that happens every 3 years. And the last night, there was a team of us that had the responsibility to clean up this big conference center and get all of our stuff out of there. And we had to do it before 10:30 that night, because there was a concert next door with Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they were going to take over the loading docks that we were loading out. And so we had to be out before they were. So we were a little bit under pressure, just to give you some context there. And I had one of the vehicles we were loading out in over at the hotel. So I had to get back to the hotel, which was 4 blocks away, and bring a car to the loading dock. And so as I'm walking through the concourse of the conference center, I notice this person struggling. I can just tell they're wrestling with something. But I'm like, I got to go get the keys. I got to go do that. And so I go and I grab the keys. And coming back from where the keys were at, I walked by this guy again. And I just couldn't ignore it. And it's like, I can tell this guy is wrestling with God. And so I just simply took the time to sit with him and just talk and just be able to pray with him and just encourage him. Because I was able to just kind of put the worries and concerns of the world and the agenda down and notice that God was working in some way in that. And that I was there for a reason that was not just the to-do list that I had to get done, right? That's just living in God's timing and looking around and seeing, what does God have for us to do? And so we go from living in God's timing to next to trusting in God's timing. Let's pick it up in verse 36. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas, and she was always doing good works and acts of charity. And about that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, don't delay in coming to us. And Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. And all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Do you know what a coincidence is? How a coincidence is defined? The dictionary defines a coincidence as an accidental but seemingly planned occurrence of events. Was it just a coincidence that Peter happened to be only one town over when Tabitha died? The believers in Joppa, I don't think, thought it was a coincidence. Now, did they know what God was going to do in this? I don't think so. I think what's happening is the believers in Joppa are grieving and they're needing encouragement and a reminder to keep their hope and faith in Jesus in this. And so it just so happened that Peter was nearby. And so they reach out and invite him to come and to minister. Now, did Peter, when they came and sought him, did Peter know what God was going to do? Again, I don't think so at that moment. I think Peter just simply encountered hurting people who were in need of the hope of Jesus, and so he went to minister to them. He's just simply walking and trusting in God's timing. See, to trust in God's timing, it doesn't mean that you know what the outcome of a given situation is going to be, but it means that you recognize that the situation or opportunity in front of you is not a coincidence, but rather a divine appointment. Now, there is a little bit of a danger in this, so let me put a little qualification on this and what we're talking about, and that is the risk of seeing every person, every encounter, and every potential need as something that you are now responsible for. And that's not what we're saying. That's not what trusting in God's timing means, is that now you have to fix and solve everything around you and everybody that you encounter. That's what we call a God complex, right? That's not on you. What we are inviting you to consider in this is that when you do encounter a need or a person, is to prayerfully discern, how is God inviting you to respond? And God's answer to that is, this one is for somebody else. That's an acceptable answer. If you feel like, man, I prayed about this, and I think God's got something else in mind here, and it's not on me, all right? That's how it is sometimes, right? Because we can't as one individual, solve every possible situation. But we look at things and we discern and we seek to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in how we are to respond in that given situation. That is trusting in God's timing. The reason you're there, the reason you ran into that person, the connection, the opportunity, it's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. It just might be an invitation to minister, to share, to encourage them. And then lastly, we see resting in God's timing. See resting in God's timing. Verse 40 to 43, it says, Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, prayed, and turning toward the body, said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, she saw Peter and sat up. And he gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called the saints and widows and presented her alive. And this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. So upon arriving, right, he's in Lydda. The disciples go to him and say, come on, come on over. And so he gets to Joppa, and upon arriving, he begins to discern how he believes God wants to work in this particular situation. And so he clears the room out, and he begins to pray, right? And so what is actually going on in this situation here? What did Peter actually do? Well, he prayed. He talked with God. He submitted to God his desire for healing in this and what he believed God wanted to do in this, right? It's not Peter doing it, but Peter submitting it to God and trusting and believing that this is what God wants to do here. And so then the command to Tabitha that he said, when he tells her to get up, what he is doing is he is revealing his trust in God's desire to heal Tabitha. He's not healing her himself. He's just a man. All he has to offer is Jesus to them, right? That's what Peter and John said to the blind man back in Acts 3, I believe, if I've got the right chapter. We don't have anything for you. All we've got is Jesus. And then the guy's healed. There's no special formula in what he said or did that brought this healing about. And furthermore, Tabitha didn't exercise faith to be healed either. Sometimes you will encounter Christian groups say, if you have enough faith, you will be healed. Well, explain Tabitha's faith to me. The woman is dead. It did not depend on her faith. It's about how God wants to work in a given situation. And Peter discerns what God is wanting to do. He expresses that desire to God, and then he acts on his faith in what he believes God wants to do. It's God's timing and plan that brings about the healing. And so then we ask the question, then why isn't always that it's God's will and God's plan for the healing to happen? We don't know why some are healed and some are not. But what we do know is that in each situation, God is working for his glory. And so to rest in God's timing means that we trust in how God is working in the situation. We don't dictate to God, and we don't tell God what he has to do in any given situation. But we trust and rest in how God wants to work. And so sometimes the answers to our prayers for healing is no. That is not how God is working in this situation. That he is going to be glorified in other ways. And sometimes when we experience pain and suffering, it is a reminder to us of our need for Jesus and the perfect eternal life that he offers. And then other times, sometimes the healing takes place. And it is a glimpse, a little glimpse of the eternal perfect life that Jesus has promised in him for those who believe. That is what we get to experience when this life is over, is freedom from the pain and the suffering and the anguish of sin and death. See, it's just a glimpse. Because just like Lazarus, Tabitha here will die eventually. She will experience further pain and suffering, and she will die, as did Lazarus. Only Jesus was resurrected to new life, receiving a glorified body. That's different than what happened to Lazarus. It's different than what happened to Tabitha here. So it is a glimpse when the healing happens. It is a glimpse of the future that God has for those who are in Jesus. And it is beautiful, and it is wonderful, but it is still temporary. Because it is only in that life that is offered through Jesus that it'll be permanent in that. That doesn't mean that we have to pretend it's easy when the answer is no. It doesn't make it easy. It isn't easy when we experience pain and suffering, when our loved ones experience pain and suffering, when we lose people in this life. It is never easy. But we can believe and trust that God is building his church in this, that God is being glorified. He was building it during the time of Acts, and he is still building it today. And we are not in charge of the building project. But we are invited into the project. See, God delights to work in and through us to accomplish his will and plan, just the same way that he did with Peter. So how is it that we participate in God's plan and what God is doing? First, we live in God's timing. We do not have to manufacture opportunities to serve others or to share the hope of Jesus with somebody. As we live our lives, we just need to learn to pay attention to where God is already at work. Right? This morning, we're sitting in this room with all of these other beautiful people around you. And guess what? There are people who need a word of encouragement. There are some of us who could use someone to pray for us, to just greet us, to welcome us, to share God's joy with us, right? Everyone that you encounter is an opportunity. And so we look, how is God, right? I don't have to go find it. I just live in God's timing. And then secondly, we trust in his timing. You are where you are for a reason. You are working in your job. You go to your work for a reason. And it's not just to get a paycheck. It's because God has put you in the lives of those people for a reason. Right? That is your sphere of influence. So trust in his timing. Trust that God knows what he is doing in your life, and look for those opportunities around you. And lastly, we rest in his timing. You are not in control, and you don't have to be. And let me tell you, it is a freeing feeling to accept the fact that you are not in control, because it is a terrible burden to live as though you have to be in control of everything. You get to simply trust in God's desire to work through you. And then you get to simply leave the results up to God. Because God is the one who is working. It is his spirit moving through us that is accomplishing his will and is building his church.